Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steven Steigman. Steve Kraske is away this week. In the latest issue of Harper's Magazine, there's a short article critical of the agreement Kansas City, Missouri signed with Google Fiber. It raises questions about FCC oversight, challenges the fairness of access in minority neighborhoods, and also raises questions about private versus municipal fiber optic projects. On both sides of the state line, Google is building and testing a fiber optic network, which will be 100 times faster than what we are accustomed to, a gigabit of data per second. Today, we'll discuss the argument with a co-author of the article and a Kansas City, Missouri councilwoman. We want you to join the conversation, too. Our number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Later in the hour, food writer Joan Nathan joins us to talk about traditional and not-so-traditional foods for the Passover holiday, which begins this coming Monday evening. And finally, today, commentator Victor Wishner returns with a fan's notes about big crowds gathering downtown around the Sprint Center. But first, Google Fiber, a good model for the country? Councilwoman Cindy Serco was instrumental in bringing Google Fiber to Kansas City's area with an agreement with Google Fiber. Councilwoman, thanks for being here today.
Happy to be.
And we're also joined by New Letters writer-in-residence Whitney Terrell. He co-authored the Harper's Magazine piece critical of Kansas City with a UMKC professor, Shannon Jackson. Whitney, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Councilwoman, before digging deep, what are your general impressions? Give us a snapshot of how you view the rollout of Google Fiber in Kansas City, Missouri. Good and bad, what are you hearing from your constituents?
I'm mostly positive, but yes, there's always a negative with any project that we do. The effect of the actual construction in front of business fronts or along streets, that's not unusual for any kind of project. A large-scale project, when you're not first and you are in the middle or the last, mm-hmm. you get anxious about when it's your turn. So those are the types of things that we're dealing with. But all in all, it has been an over-the-top positive experience for Kansas City.
Whitney, your criticism is rooted in the FCC's philosophy of less regulation over broadband and how potentially that works against municipalities who negotiate contracts with private companies like Google. Do you feel that these kinds of private and municipal agreements are right, or do municipalities need to develop their own high-speed fiber networks? Do they need to bargain better?
Well, I just think the point of the article was really to talk about to start a debate on national policy here. You know, the FCC's broadband plan, which was issued in 2010, right? If you read it, It advocates mostly for private networks and deregulation and says this is how we're going to expand these networks. I'm saying if you look historically, the way that we did private electrical expansion, you know, in the 20s, what FDR did to get private electricity out to farms and low-income areas and rural areas was create rural electric cooperatives and large governmental organizations like the TVA. And I'm saying, look, and even the FCC itself in the broadband plan draws that parallel, but then they offer a very different solution than what FDR offered. They offer a private capital model, basically. In the entire broadband plan, there's one page that discusses municipal networks. However, there are very successful municipally owned fiber optic networks in America, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Bristol, Tennessee, in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Bristol, Virginia. And I'm saying, look, these models might be better than a privately owned, deregulated model for how to expand these fiber optic networks across the country.
We actually spoke with the mayor of Chattanooga when we were downtown at the New American Cities conference.
Yes.
And we asked him about that network, and we also compared it to the network that was set up, the gigabit network, the fiber optic network that was set up in North Kansas City. So why didn't the North Kansas City model take off? And is this model, Whitney, so different than that? Or is it the role of a private industry like Google to come in and popularize a gigabit network?
Well, I mean, I think some of the differences with the Chattanooga network are, you know, the money that is spent on subscriptions returns to the community. I mean, the utility that owns the network in Chattanooga takes in that money. They charge more than Google does for the service, right, because they're having to pay down a bond. But that money comes back into the community, and when they make a profit, it goes into reducing, for instance, their electrical charges that they charge subscribers to their service. There's universal access. So there's no fiberhood sign-up issues. There's no tracking of consumer data for commercial purposes. And they offer business service, which is something that Google has not yet done in Kansas City. And you can also connect your own server to the internet. You can get a static IP address, which is something that Google's not offering at this time.
What's the advantage of that?
Okay, this is the tech area where I'm going to feel nervous about, okay?
Well,
but,
okay.
This is the information that I have gotten from Isaac Wilder, who I've also written a piece about that's appearing on the Harper's website. But static IP address means that's how people find you. It's like your house address, right? Mm-hmm. My understanding is that when you're working through the Google network, you can only get a dynamic private address rather than a static public address.
Okay.
And that's the difference. I could be wrong about this. Cindy, do you know the answer to that?
I would be the same on the tech nervousness, okay. I think there's a difference between saying what Kansas City did was right or wrong and then only sticking to one provider as Google, because there's multiple providers that we deal with in the same regulations all the way through. If you're sending video feed, internet feed, telephone lines, any of those, we have to, as a city, deal with all of them on an equal basis. And we knew that. And so whatever concessions that we felt like were a good investment for Kansas City, we knew that those were also going to have to be available to the other providers. So this isn't a Google conversation for Kansas City ourselves. Nationally, I think that's a completely different conversation. I think it's good that we evaluate the models and what's the best model. But we also then end up with state regulations, and each state is different. The ability for franchise fees, I think you see Olathe is touting that they're going to get those. We would get the same franchise
fees. The same 5% franchise
fees. Yes, if we're feeding television and video.
Well, that brings up a good point, Councilwoman. What about the part of the contract that says that Kansas City cannot charge Google for access to or use of any city facilities, nor will it impose any permit or inspection fees? Does that 5% of gross revenue cover those fees, or are we opening ourselves up to folks like AT&T and Time Warner who are now saying, we want those free services too?
We absolutely knew that they would get those free services from us. Those are permitting fees. It's not regulations. We're not regulating them. It is as if anybody else that wanted to come and construct in Kansas City, they would have permit fees. We looked at this as pioneers. The other model did not work for Kansas City. That is, the money that we have available to take on new opportunities is very limited. And so this was a way for a very small investment. And we have large discussions about TIF in Kansas City,
right,
and how we incentivize development. This doesn't even compare to the amount of money that is put towards other smaller developments. So we felt it was a good deal. And we also knew we were out front. And those that come behind us should look at what we did and try to improve on it.
I was going to ask you, Whitney, do you think that Google will ask all cities for these concessions as they expand? I mean, or will some say, you know what, if you want to make money off of our citizens, you're going to have to pay for a bit more of those services?
Well, my role is like the skeptic of the gigantic California company. Google is $275 billion market cap company. They're a very powerful company, and they play for keeps. I think it's interesting that the Olathe deal offers fewer public access hookups. I think that Mary Sanchez's article in the paper yesterday, it was, or a couple days ago, mentions this. I think that that's interesting, right? Is it perhaps, okay, Kansas City's got it now to compete, we don't have to offer quite as good a deal to the next person. I mean, mm-hmm. That's normally how, if you have leverage in your business, you use it.
And you talk about the digital divide in your article, and you allude to, of course, neighborhoods on the east side of Troost, many of whom residents don't have credit cards, debit cards, access to the internet, a Google account, all, things to register. Now, the argument on the other side is that Google recognized that and they are sending out people to help people register. But is that enough, Whitney?
I think Google did, and I did a very good job of of a seeing that this was going to be a problem and possibly a public relations nightmare, and going out. I went out with some of the Google crews while they were signing up people in neighborhoods, you know. My point is that with a municipally owned network, you don't have that kind of issue. In Chattanooga, they have to offer access to everyone. The EPBS that runs the, mm-hmm. the utility. And so this idea of, well, you're only going to get it if a certain number of you sign up is a very, you know, like private capital competitive idea. And I don't think that internet service of this sort should be like our water or our electricity. You know, it should be something that everyone can access.
Well, what about the schools who are supposed to get elementary and secondary schools that are supposed to get fiber service in neighborhoods? And there was some fear that if not enough people in those neighborhoods signed up, that those schools would not get that. Cindy Serco, is that still the case?
Well, our connection the deal wasn't a specific address. It was as the connections were made. And yes, you need participation in order for those lines to be laid. There's a reason that the city of Kansas City is not physically doing it themselves, and it's the budget. So we have an opportunity to have a partner in that, and through that we were able to gain some concessions. But it is happening. We have UMKC getting the $2 million investment in the Sandbox Initiative, which is really exciting. We have neighborhood schools that are going to get connected. So, you know, is it a perfect system? No. But when you're first in line, when you're first we thought of everything. We did think of urban neighborhoods, and we made sure it was a priority. We did think of making sure that education was part of getting an advantage of this. And we also evaluated that we knew whatever we did, all the other providers that are within our city limits are going to get the same deal.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Stephen Steigman. Steve Kraske returns on Monday. We're talking about Google Fiber and the deal that Google made with the cities of Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas. We're talking specifically today about KCMO. If you have questions for our guests, our phone number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us uptodate@kcur.org. Lisa Mitchell of the Kauffman Foundation, as a guest columnist in Forbes magazine, spoke of opportunities for educational, experimental, and entrepreneurial growth. Cindy, how much of this is about mindset, about getting people to view Kansas City as a forward-thinking, entrepreneurial hotbed?
Well, obviously, my job is to bring the most that I can to the citizens, the tangible services that they can get. Also, why we were in this conversation and knew and saw this opportunity, I very much believed that the announcement alone was going to change the dynamics and the view of Kansas City, and it has.
Give me some examples of that.
We are entrepreneurs in this whole tech world are moving. We have people actually moving to Kansas City for the opportunity to produce their products in a digital environment that allows them to do what they could not do if we did not have it. So those alone are our excitement. The national news that we have received, the attention that we have received has put us on a level of media that we would not have had. That doesn't really affect maybe the digital world, but has affect our, we're now considered the best 10th downtown in the world.
According to?
You're going to ask me which magazine.
According to me, I think we're a great downtown.
No, we are a great downtown.
I like the downtown as well.
We
have agreement here around the table.
We do. So that media attention that brought other people in to our city to look at us, to evaluate us, give them an experience of Kansas City that they did not have and left with a positive image, have brought one more person in. That has nothing to do with having fiber to your home. But for that announcement, it brought a spotlight on us, much like the All-Star Game brought a spotlight on us.
So what happens 5 or 10 years from now when a lot of different cities have gigabit internet connections, whether it's through Google or some other provider? What happens to Kansas City? Will those companies remain who have moved here for this service leave elsewhere?
I guess I'm saying the larger question is yes, of course, because Kansas City was the first deal that Google did, right? And it's gotten a lot of attention, and the FCC has been here to visit because this is a private capital model that fits the way I think most of the FCC board members want this to happen, right? So it's gotten a lot of attention. Okay, but the point is that as the entire nation gets built out in this way, right, it's not going to be this way in every other city. It's been great for us because we were first, right? But if you think about what the 25th, what kind of deal the 25th city or the 50th city or rural areas are going to get if we go with a private capital model for this, instead of pushing, you know, these municipal networks, which the FCC has not done. You know, I don't think that it's going to – those same benefits are going to accrue. Google's on their absolute best behavior for the Kansas City project. They know they're being watched. They have to do it the right way. But I'm saying there aren't any safeguards, you know, really according to the way that our contract is written in the future that will prevent – that give a city leverage to force Google to do things that you might expect a city to force Google to do.
Well, how long does this contract last, Cindy?
Well, and we don't have that leverage with any other provider in the city either. So it isn't, you know, you're focusing on one provider. There's multiple providers here, and all of those providers have the same opportunity. You're trying to compare each city equally, apple to apples. And municipalities aren't apples to apples. There's different forms of government. They have to deal with different state regulations.
That's
so
true.
We have to. I agree that there should be opportunity and choices, and we should not upfront pick a single way of doing this. But it is the way that was an opportunity in a way that's working for us here in Kansas City that we should have and we did take advantage of.
Whitney?
Well, I think that's one of the issues. She points out that it's not the same in every state. And as I mentioned in the article, for instance, there are states like North Carolina that have conservative state legislatures that are passing laws to prevent municipalities from building their own networks, which I think is a terrible thing to do. There are also cases like Lafayette, Louisiana, which I've mentioned. They were sued by Bell South and Cox Communications, who were the incumbent providers in that city, right? When they asked Bell South and Cox to build a fiber optic network for them, those companies refused. They went ahead and decided to build their own municipal network. And Cox and Bell South started this campaign of civil suits and lobbying that delayed the network's deployment, cost the city $4 million to defend. And that's not the only case where you have incumbent cable providers who try to prevent cities from building municipal networks. And I think this is something that the federal government should be and the FCC should be trying to prevent from happening.
Mm. And I think if you look at Kansas City, what we see is kind of where you're the not the counter to your argument, but agreeing with your argument. But our way of doing it was creating as much competition within our city limits under the regulations that we have to follow.
Well, do you think that Time Warner and AT&T are going to start offering fiber connections that'll provide that kind of speed?
Have you seen Time Warner's advertising that has gone up dramatically since?
No doubt. But they're still only providing, 20 megabits per second, which is still, a lot slower than a gigabit.
It is a lot slower. But if it improves service, ability to create competition and pricing, then my citizens win.
Okay. But again, municipal networks provide the same kind of competition when they get built to the incumbent providers.
Let's say hi to Mike in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
It's Mike Burke.
Yes, you're correct.
Mike Burke is a member of the mayor's bi-state innovation team.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now.
Uh-oh. Thanks for calling in, Mike.
Well, just a number of comments and a wonderful show, and Cindy is doing just a great job of explaining the city's position. The important thing, I think, to recognize is what is important to Kansas City, Missouri. And we have been given an incredible competitive edge for a brief period of time.
Well, there's the issue for a brief period of time. What happens in a few years, Mike?
Well, you know, first of all, the difference between Google Fiber and what's happened in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Chattanooga, in Lafayette, a gig to the home is $1,000 a month.
That doesn't include TV.
In Chattanooga, where they had $111 million in federal stimulus money to build the system, it's $318 a month. So we have the cheapest gig to the home anywhere in the country. We have people literally buying houses here to take advantage of it. Now, the question going forward, yes, it is a brief period of time. That's why the focus needs to be on what we as a community do to take advantage of it. And UMKC, I have to compliment greatly because their Innovation Center stepped forward. Won a $2 million award and in-kind contributions to open up the Digital Sandbox, which is a proof of concept center, and are becoming a magnet. We had the Digital Sandbox had over 200 applications.
Yeah, Mike. It's not that I disagree that fiber optic networks do good things for cities. My point is nationally, is this the right model? So listing all the great stuff that's happened because of a fiber optic network to me is we're all in agreement there. That's a good thing. You know, as far as the pricing goes for the Chattanooga and Lafayette, Louisiana networks, yes, a gig is more expensive, but not very many of us are going to be using a gig. And so there also are more choices in pricing. There's a whole staggered, you can pick all kinds of different prices, price points, starting at $19.95 a month with the Lafayette, Louisiana network and working your way up and choosing internet or TV
We obviously have those choices here with the other providers. I think there is a significant difference between having the Google Fiber experiment in Kansas City and what other cities have done in turn, and it has elevated Kansas City nationally.
Yes, it has. I totally agree. I'm asking on a national level, as part of national policy, is this the way to do it? Do we want private companies to own and control the fiber optic networks that are going to run the country, or do we want our governments to?
I think the private, especially where you have competition, and that's a valid point. Where you don't have competition, there are other issues. But where you have competition like Kansas City, it's an absolute blessing.
Well, but we've said that competition will fix all ills, and we've had basically a private equity model for up until now. And we have 100 million Americans who lack broadband service because private telecom firms have not wanted to give them service in rural areas, in poor areas.
Cindy, respond to that.
Well, we're taking what I consider one piece of infrastructure. We didn't used to have sewers. We didn't used to have railroads. Who would ever, in the beginning at that time, thought that that was basic infrastructure? And I believe that this is our future need of a basic infrastructure. And you're asking the national question, how do we get there? But even with our electricity, we don't have one single model. The two KCs, KCK has a government-managed electricity model, and we have a private-managed electricity model in KCMO. So there alone is there doesn't seem to be one answer. I think raising the issue, I think having the conversation is completely healthy.
Well, that was the goal of the piece.
Is completely healthy.
I'm not saying you guys did something wrong by taking the Google's offer. I'm saying nationally we need to think and have a debate. What's the best way to do this?
Let me ask Cindy and Mike, have you heard from other leaders of other cities about this and what to expect if Google Fiber does come to their city? How to negotiate, how to get a great deal for their city?
Well, we keep focusing on one provider, and then that's Google.
Right.
That's not our focus, and those aren't really the phone calls that we get. We have an assistant city manager, Rick Gusher, who was I picked him on the front end because he is such a coordinator of people and talents. He gets probably spends a good portion of his day every day in this world, in this conversation, because people want to pick our brains, want to know our experiences, and not just about Google, but what is happening in our whole tech world of the crossroads and the Silicon Valley that we're now being named. And you ask if they're going to go away, and Mike makes a point of it's a short period of time that we need to capitalize on. I agree. But I think this is what I believe because I love Kansas City so much, that they get here, they love the living experience here, they can raise their kids here, they can grow here.
Who's they?
The companies and the people that are coming here.
Oh.
Those opportunities that are being created from this experience,
I'm just saying, they'll be invested. Google's only existed as a company since 1998. You know, I mean, they're
they're moving like, out fast, aren't they?
I own a Nokia. I had a Nokia phone once. Nokia was the leader, seemed a dominant phone company, you know, 5 years ago, and now they're almost about to go bankrupt. It's difficult. You rely on a dynamic tech company like this, you know, to be the person who provides this incredibly important service. I think there are dangers.
Which is not our sole provider.
That's good to hear. Well, this is not the last time we will have this conversation. I want to apologize to all the people who called in we were not able to get to today, but we are going to continue this conversation about Google Fiber as it's rolled out in the months and the years ahead. Councilwoman Cindy Serco represents Kansas City, Missouri's 5th District. Councilwoman, thank you so much for being here today.
It was a joy.
And Whitney Terrell's article, Only Connect, appears in the April issue of Harper's Magazine. Whitney, thank you.
Thanks for having me.